thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Java with Josh. I'm your host, legislator Josh Lafazan. Today we have a really exciting show with the founder of Coastal Advisors, Rich Big Daddy Salgado, joining us. As we say every week, having big dreams is common, but figuring out how to achieve those dreams is rare. On this show, we interview some truly incredible people to share their journeys to success and give you the tools to reach your dreams. So grab your cup of Java and let's go. Rich, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So today is really exciting. You know, I know you very well, but for our audience members who are meeting you for the first time, Rich Big Daddy Salgado in 1998 founded his company Coastal Advisors as a way of keeping his clients protected and making their lives better. With his stellar knowledge and relationships that have developed throughout the years, Salgado has the ability to speak with GMs of the NFL, NHL, MLB, draft picks, and veterans about disability and career-ending insurance. A staple in the world of sports business media, you've become a regular on Fox News Channel's Your World with Neil Cavuto and other shows. You've been on ESPN, you've been on Fox Sports, you've been on NHL Network, you've been on Bloomberg News. You have done so much, and it's nice to see you in person because typically I see you on TV. Let's hop right into it. How in the world did you get started in your career?
It's funny. I grew up in New Hyde Park, and one of my former neighbors, you know, he was in the insurance business, and he thought it would be something that would be right up my alley because of being able to speak to people and having a lot of contacts and whatnot. And I agreed to do it. And then I kind of carried the torch by myself for a while. You know, it's over 25 years that I've been in the insurance business, and I've got clients from, you know, Stanley Cup champions, NHL Rookie of the Year, Heisman Trophy, Super Bowl, Pro Bowl, you know, and then, you know, the business owners, you know, big entertainment types, and then, you know, my mailman and, you know, people from all walks of life. So it's been a long journey, and it's been a fun journey. And, you know, it's gotten so it's gotten to the point where I can't do it all. So I formed a partnership with my partner down in Florida. His name is Chris Muro. So we have an office in Boca. We have one here in New York. And we've got a bunch of other offices, you know, in Jersey, Staten Island, and, you know, the list goes on and on and on.
And so you guys are, you know, you're obviously insuring professional athletes. How did you obviously you spoke a little bit about how you got started here, but it's something from like having an idea to making it a reality. You know, how did you take this thing from an idea to make it enormous like it is now?
Well, you know what? I was fortunate enough to have friends all levels of football. And, you know, I grew up around the Jets. Right. I went and played college ball at the University of Maryland. And my college roommate, and, you know, he's like a brother to me, and I owe a lot of gratitude for helping me, is Neil O'Donnell, who's, you know, whose jersey I have right there. You know, he's always close to me, and, you know, that's how I really began. And then, you know, he went out to Pittsburgh, and I went out there. I joined him after he'd already been out there a year, and I got into networking and meeting, you know, everyone from Dan Rooney. You know, you meet the Rooneys and you're like, oh my God, you're at the Holy Grail, Pittsburgh. And then I met Mario Lemieux, and then it just went from there. I almost ended up staying in Pittsburgh. That's how great it was. But it's well documented. I left Pittsburgh to take care of Neil O'Donnell's father, who had suffered a stroke. And he was like a father to me. And, you know, NFL Network, if you ever could look it up, did a nice piece on it. And, you know, a man that was like my dad that needed a lot of help. And, you know, it was like a family member asking for help. So I went. And that's what brought me back to New York from Pittsburgh.
Well, I got to tell you, it's so cool because, you know, oftentimes, you know, I'll grow up watching these guys on TV and you'll say, oh, that guy, cool guy. Or, oh, that guy, I had dinner with him here. You know, what is it like to be close friends with these professional athletes? But more importantly, what is it like to work with them? Because so many people want to work in sports and just don't know what it's like to work in sports.
The thing that I would always tell people is that just like you and I are friends and we're speaking and we go out to dinner and we have laughs, they want the same thing. You know, they're put on pedestals by everyone else, and a lot of it's fake. So, you know, when you The one thing that I always do, regardless of who it is, whether it's AAA lister or whatever Z lister, they're all the same. You know, you have to understand. And, you know, I sometimes laugh because it's like being a shrink. You know, you sit there and you listen to people and you evaluate and you figure out. And with some of my guys or girls, you know, that are clients, you know what pushes them, you know what not to say or what to do, or and vice versa. So it's just a matter of having an understanding that, hey, look, they're human too. And they appreciate honesty, no BS, get to the point, and just be real and don't make it a con or a sales job, you know?
I think that's great advice. And my dad always said, you know, athletes are normal people with cool jobs. And you know, I always loved that. But I got to ask you, because I see a Brady jersey, I see a Barry Sanders jersey. You know, who are some of these athletes who over the years you've developed relationships and they're like, oh, he's one of my favorites, or this guy's hysterical. And I know you're close with Mike Strahan, and you're close with so many guys. Who are some of your favorite guys to work with?
Well, they all are. I mean, you know what? The reason I say that they all are is because if they trust me, even whatever the magnitude size of business that it may be, they gave you the opportunity and the chance to work with them. So I like all of my clients. Because again, if they, you know, they have the whole world trying to chase at them and peck at them and do this and do that. Look, you know what I do? Can I help you? Yes, no. Some clients have taken, you know, it took me certain clients, it took me years to get as clients, because, you know, you have to develop a relationship. You also have to, you know, they have to have trust in you, and you got to know what you're doing. And one thing that I live by is whenever I do business with anybody, I try to give back. You know, like, I just don't try to make my money and run. I stay active in their life, you know, in their lives, whether they want me to or not. But a lot of times it comes back because they may need your help with something else, you know, and that's the one thing that I think I've always taken into account. You know, don't forget where you came from, and don't forget to give back. And also, don't act differently, you know, because I remember, it was funny, I started working with a bunch of guys on the Jets, and I had, you know, Mo Lewis, who everyone knew back in the day, was one great linebacker for the Jets. And, you know, we did business together, and he said to me one time, and I never, ever forgot this, he said, if you start driving a nicer car than me and dress better than me and coming around here, I'll light you up. And I never forgot that. And it was funny. I interviewed another Jet who is like a brother to me, Marvin Washington. And I remember, you know, in the mid 90s, you know, I moved back to New York and I get into business and whatnot. And Marvin, and I will say this in front of him anytime, and I've said it before, I needed suits. And, you know, I was buying like one suit every 2 months, and, you know, because these were custom made. And I'll never forget, I was like, all right, you know what? I just made a bunch of money. I'm going to do my wardrobe. And lo and behold, I didn't even know this. When I went to go see the tailor to pay for the clothes, Marvin Washington had paid for it.
Wow.
Suits, shirts, ties, everything. Because he said, if you're going to be professional, you got to dress professionally. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Mo Lewis just told me one thing, and then Marvin told me something else. But you know what? Those are the kind of things that you don't hear about. You know, athletes giving back, and, you know, let Michael Strahan, you know, we did our golf outing. We had some folks that bid on something and went out to LA and were able to go on the set of Fox NFL. Well, there was nothing about taking everyone out to dinner and hanging out the night before. Michael took all the winners out to dinner and hung out, even though we had to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning, LA time. You know, those are the things that you don't hear about. You know, those giving back, you know, doing without being asked. I mean, that's a very important thing. And I think it's become a big part of my life. You know, I did an interview today for a business venture. which I'll get into with you offline. And, you know, the one thing the guy said to me was, you know, you're a humble guy. You only said so many words. And I explained to them that I don't want to seem like I'm bragging, you know, like, look, I've been fortunate enough to do this, this, and this, but I've also had the misfortune of fighting an aneurysm.
Right.
And I joked around and I said, I've also fought a divorce and I fought coronavirus. So I said, God's not ready for me yet because I beat those three things, you know? And that's why I've taken, you know, health in a much more serious light, you know? And I gotta be honest with you, my business colleague and partner and now my co-host, you know, which, you know, is Angelica Steen Olsen. She actually, and we had very deep conversations about health and, you know, this, and this. And it was funny, when I had coronavirus, she was one of the first people that said, you know, I think you should really go get checked out. And then, you know, that kind of set off a lot of things. And here we go. And now, you know, I got on the scale today and it was funny. You know, I used to be 392.
Jeez.
I was close to 400. And I could carry it well because of my size, but it's not good for your heart, not good for your health. So I got on the scale this morning and I was 337. And to get on that scale, I was dying laughing because I'm like, I'm not used to bringing the numbers down that low. And I was just like, oh my God, well, these 6 a.m. workouts and plus shutting my mouth is working, you know? So now I got to keep in tune with all that.
So I love that. And you know, I got to tell you, there is nobody who's persevered through more adversity than you. And I want to talk about that briefly. You had this brain aneurysm and you know, you came back and, you know, you live life to the fullest every day. You know, what was it like to recover and what is it like to live life to the fullest every day, knowing how fragile it can be?
Well, you know what? At first, when I was told that I had this, I was kind of blown away, you know. And I never forget. I left the doctor's office, and I was at LIJ, and I met with the neurologist. And I went downstairs, and I sat in the cafeteria for about a half an hour, and I actually think I did cry for like about 2 minutes, mm-hmm. And then I said to myself, you know what? You've been to hell and back. I said, look. If life were to end tomorrow, I could never be mad at anyone. And meaning like, you know, everyone prays and, you know, everyone blames this, that. And no. Look, I've done things that some of the wealthiest people on this planet will never, ever do. And I can't complain, you know. So if the good Lord says it was time to go, it's time to go. And I dealt with, and the funniest thing, and it's a well-documented story. So now we discover that I have this aneurysm. As I'm sitting there with the doctor, it was like a Wednesday. And I said to the doctor, hey, doc, I got one question for you. And he goes, what? I said, you know, my birthday's this weekend. They're throwing me a little party out in LA. Can I still go? So the doctor looks at me and he goes, yeah, sure. Why not? So, you know, I go out to LA, I went to see USC play, and then I went to Fox on Sunday to watch Michael, Howie, and the boys do their thing. And on the flight back, well, wait a minute, let me backtrack. On Saturday night, we went out to dinner for my birthday, and it was funny. Jay Glazer, Michael Strahan, Joe Wendt, who was my tailor at the time, and Michelle Beisner, who's a dear friend of mine, ESPN, she's Joe Buck's wife, Sean Howard, who's an agent. We're all sitting there at dinner, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the dinner, Michael and Jay are fighting over who's going to get what when I die, you know, like if I don't make it out of the surgery. And, you know, it's well documented, and it was funny. And you know what? I kind of chuckled at it because, hey, listen, it's part of life, you know, it's if it happens, it happens. But, look, I had the surgery. I was able to get out in 7 days, which was remarkable. And but it took me about 2 years to get back, you know, to really somewhat normalcy, even though my stubbornness and dickheadedness got me out of the house. you know, I looked like Frankenstein because my head was swollen. I had staples in my head and whatnot, but I just couldn't sit at home. I'm just not like that. So, but that was a big, you know, that was a big reality check. And knock on wood, thank God, the good Lord didn't, you know, let me get out of that. And, you know, it led to a lot of things. I didn't want to get involved in charities because I did it for clients. Then here I was raising money for the place that saved my life. And then I got involved with St. Jude. I visited St. Jude twice. You know, that place really opens up your eyes and you learn that it's a place of hope. You know, so that really was an eye opener. And then, you know, we took a little bit of break for some different reasons. And then we're back at it. You know, the Big Daddy Celebrity Golf Classic is back this June 29th at Ohika Castle. And one thing that I got involved with as well, and I'm bringing something totally different to this, is I became an ambassador for the Share Women's Empowerment Group. Yep. And, you know, they are a big player in supporting gender equality. They are following the UN initiative, He for She. And I am an ambassador now. And that's thanks to, you know, our good friend, Angelica. And she's having a big luncheon that day while the guys are out golfing. They're going to have a fully catered lunch. It's free to all the women that are interested in attending. And then the ones that want to stick around for the after golf gala and live auction and entertainment are going to get a discounted ticket if they want to stay for the rest of the day. There's a lot of things and, you know, opportunities have that have come up. And, you know, I'm grateful for them. I see this beautiful pendant that I'm wearing. I'm not a big jewelry person, but I like this thing. And it was one of our sponsors is David Yurman. You know, they are a big supporter of ours. And, you know, they're Angelica and them are teaming up to have an incredible gift bag for the female guests. So Josh, you and I are out. We'll just enjoy the lunch and free drinks. But yeah, so those are, you know, we have Arizona Iced Tea, which is the number one beverage company in the world, you know, right there in Woodbury. And they've always been a big supporter of us in everything that we've done. We, you know, the one thing you talk about giving back, the one thing my brother Jimmy, who's assistant coach with the Buffalo Bills, and I are looking forward to this summer after the golf outing is holding the Big Daddy Youth Football Camp, and it's at our high school, New High Park Memorial High School. And that is probably one of the most important things for me because it's going home. It's offering kids an opportunity that don't get to go to games, don't even get to see it on TV. And we bring current and retired coaches and players, and the camp's run by an NFL coach, which happens to be my brother. So, you know, who's better than those kids? And it's funny, the parents get a big kick out of it because they see these people that they see on TV. And some of the kids are young. They're 8 to 15 or 14. But the parents know who Adam Schefter is. The parents know who Jim Trotter, NFL Network, is. Or Brian Baldinger, NFL Network, who grew up in Massapequa and played in the NFL for 12, 13 years. So, and we get some of the Fox guys like Brian Kilmeade's been out to the camp 3 years in a row, and Pete Hegseth came the last time from Fox and Friends. You know, those are my boys from there, but we try to give all the kids different viewpoints and opportunities and hear it from guys that, you know, played sports. You know, Pete Hegseth played basketball at Princeton. Brian Kilmeade played soccer at CW Post. You know, and why not? Because those are lessons that can't be bought. You don't get an opportunity to be taught by people like these guys because it's just not available to everybody, you know? And we had Anita Marks out, you know, a female who's on ESPN, does work with the Giants, and also played football, played quarterback for a women's league. So where do you get that kind of talent to take time out of their own schedules to come back and speak to these kids and have conversations and share their experiences and let kids learn from people that really have done it.
It's incredible hearing you speak about it, because you know, so much of what drives you is this need to give back and always take care of the next generation. So I'll ask you, you know, how do people get involved in your organizations, and more importantly, you know, because I'd love you to hit about that. How do you advise people to make a difference in their community? Because so many people want to help, and you've helped so many. What's your best advice to inspire people and to teach them how to make a difference?
I think the thing that it depends on the individual. You know, everyone has an idea. Everyone has a thought or a dream. And if you really feel that strongly about something, then go and do it. You know, the one thing, I am not afraid to ask anyone for anything, or, you know, ask any question. I don't like to bother people, and I may be, you know, sometimes I'm humble and I may not give my whole, you know, Wikipedia background, but look, if I'm doing something and my name's on it or my family's name's on it, or I'm supporting you or anyone, you know, Angelica, whoever it is, I got to do it 100%. And I have to do it with people that believe in the same thing that I do. And it has to be totally honest, legit. And you're doing it for a specific reason, but then except for, let me reword that. You don't want to do it for yourself. You want to do it for others. You know, you want to be able to share, hey, look, I'm not married. I don't have kids. So every client that I work with is like a kid, you know, one of my kids, friends of mine that I can help out and you know, let them use my platform. And I don't share it with a lot of people because you know what, you get burned, and you got to remember that all the relationships that you build up, you know, people do things for you because they trust you, you know? So you always have to be on top of things. But, and getting back to your question, you know, the people that want to do something, you gotta put your plan forward. You have to put your best foot forward and follow through on that plan. Don't, you know, it doesn't do you any good to keep it inside. Go do something about it. Make it happen.
I love that. I love that. And I think it's a perfect place to wrap, because I'm taking notes here. And, you know, I think the one question I'll ask you, which is, you know, we ask every guest on the show, you know, what would be the biggest piece of advice that you would give to your younger self? Like, you've learned obviously so much, you've gone through so much, you've achieved so much. What would be that biggest piece of advice you would give to your younger self?
Say no to everybody. No. You know what? I think that, you know, I'm 55 now. So I would say when I was about 30, 35, I didn't take advantage of a certain opportunities because I didn't surround myself with the right team, you know, whether it was for in my personal life or my professional life. You know, there's a lot of, you know, hiccups along the way. You learn by mistakes. You learn, you know, you've got to sit there and really evaluate what you're doing and making sure that you do it the right way. So I think as I've gotten older, I've gotten wiser, and I've surrounded myself with people that really have the same interest in me. They think like I think. And I think the other piece of advice would be is don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, I don't know every answer. I always say, look, I didn't go to Harvard or Yale. You know, I don't know everything. And I am not afraid now to ask for help. And if I tell you I could do something, I do it. If I can't, I'll tell you I can't. I think honesty is always the best way of going about it.
So I'll tell you, I echo that in terms of, I find that so many young people feel that asking for help is a sign of weakness, where asking for help to me is a sign of strength, emotional strength, the humility that you don't know everything. I think it's wonderful. Rich, you're an amazing guy. We're overdue for dinner, so I know we'll get it on the calendar. But from all of us here at Java with Josh, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. And anytime you need me, just let me know. I'd love to be back on.
Thanks so much for tuning in. And thank you to Big Daddy for an amazing conversation. Make sure to click subscribe to our podcast and check us out on Instagram and Facebook for videos and bonus features. I'd also love to hear your questions and comments. Feel free to shoot me an email at josh@joshlafazan.com. I'm legislator Josh Lafazan, and thanks for joining us for Java with Josh.